Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is November 21st, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Impeachment hearings day number 5, perhaps the last day of public hearings in this impeachment inquiry from the Intelligence Committee. Now, of course, anything could happen if somebody wants to step forward that might be more of a first-hand witness, somebody like a John Bolton, Mike Pence, Rick Perry, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Don't hold your breath on that, but anything could happen. You never know who's going to come out of the woodwork. Could be some other staffer, could be somebody within the White House, somebody within the DOD, somebody within the State Department or elsewhere. But again, I wouldn't hold your breath on this one. Today, we had two witnesses testifying before the Intelligence Committee for this impeachment inquiry. It was Dr. Fiona Hill. She is an expert who served as a senior advisor to the president in the White House, worked alongside National Security Advisor John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor. She is an expert on Russian and European affairs. We also have David Holmes, a lifelong, career-long member of the Foreign Service within the State Department. He is a political advisor for Ukraine, serving in the American Embassy in Kiev. He is the individual who overheard the phone call between President Trump and Ambassador Gordon Sondland in Ukraine on July 26th. July 26th, recall, is one day after the July 25th call between President Donald Trump and President Zelensky. That is the transcript that Donald Trump in the White House and many of his supporters in the Republican Party and elsewhere have been telling the public, read the transcript. It's a perfect phone call. There's nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong. It's perfect. Read the transcript. Read the transcript. That's it. Now, the ultimate question, because we do believe that the impeachment hearings have come to a conclusion, does this all rise to impeachment and the removal of President Donald J. Trump? These are serious questions. What we've tried to do here at the Capital News, regardless of politics, we try to seek out the truth. We try to find justice. That is our goal here at the Capital News, to put aside the partisanship, like I've been saying consistently here for quite a while. Put aside the partisanship. If you want to play the partisan games, you are not a part of the solution. You are a part of the problem. Emotions are high. People are upset. I understand this. But we are not going to solve the problem. We are not going to save our republic by getting further and further, deeper and deeper into our respective political silos. Putting party above country is asking for nothing but trouble, asking for nothing but failure, and asking for nothing but the demise of our republic. What has been testified to over the course of the last few weeks, in my opinion, in my analysis, has been rather troubling for the President of the United States. His attention to the transcript and the attempt, I believe, on his behalf and people who support him to focus solely on the transcript is a means of distraction and diversion. It is, I think, an attempt to make the general public believe that that is it. That's all you have to look at. Just read the transcript, which of course is not a verbatim transcript, but generally speaking, it is close. That's it. That on the 25th of July of this year, the president and a few of his advisors decided to have a phone call with President Zelensky, the new president of Ukraine, and we're just going to shoot the breeze. I'm going to congratulate him on winning his recent election, and we're just going to talk. That's all. I mean, that's beyond belief. That strains credibility. Now, Donald Trump and company have not come out and stated that explicitly, but that's sort of the implicit response that you're supposed to sort of come up with. That's it. There's one phone call, congratulatory in nature. Nothing was really planned. We just wanted to say congratulations and talk about a few things. And it just so happens that the president happens to bring up 2016 election interference, a company called Burisma, and then it comes to pass that Burisma is linked to Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden. And Donald Trump makes that known on the phone call with President Zelensky as well. And we're supposed to say that that's it, that that's fine. I don't agree with that, that that's fine. When this transcript was released, in conjunction with when the whistleblower complaint was made known, in conjunction when the memo by the Intelligence Committee Inspector General was made known, we took the time here on the Capitol News to read them all in their entirety. We did so. We said it appears that the transcript that was released by Donald Trump, in my initial analysis and opinion, which I have not deviated from to this day, does not rise to the level of impeachment. Definitely not removal. But I don't think impeachment either. Impeachment is a serious thing. It's only been attempted in this country over our 200 plus year history only a handful of times because it is very serious. Elections are supposed to solve most of these issues because you don't just impeach a president because of maladministration or because you disagree with his or her policy. That's what elections are for. That's what this country was founded on. But that doesn't mean that our founders, in their wisdom, did not come up with a remedy in case there was an individual who became the president of the United States that abused their power, that committed a crime while in office, and that there has to be a remedy available for the people through their representatives in Congress and in the Senate to remove the president of the United States. That's all logical. That's all rational. But it was understood that most of these things should be settled through an election. Now, with everything that has come to pass over the past few weeks, most people have already made their decision. Why? Because people are putting politics and partisanship ahead of truth and justice. All you have to do is a simple exercise, no matter if you're a Republican, a conservative, or a Democrat and a liberal, all you have to do is a simple exercise is switch out the names. And then you'll see people's body reaction. You'll see their facial expressions. You'll hear a deep sigh. What if we said instead this was not Donald Trump, but Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? So to my conservative and Republican friends out there, would you just say, yeah, he released a transcript. That's it. Nothing else to see here, folks. Move along. Move along. I doubt it, because I know a lot of conservative and Republicans were all over Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton when it came to the Russiagate, the Spygate that was dealing with Donald Trump's campaign. We talked about that at the beginning of this podcast when we started back in February of this year. And we conducted the same type of analysis in that matter as we have in this one. Putting our partisanship, putting politics aside. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a liberal. I'm not a Republican. I'm a libertarian. This podcast is about truth, justice, peace, and free market capitalism. Pretty straightforward. I don't care who is implicated in this. If Donald Trump has exculpatory evidence that he can release that clears his name and anybody else who's involved, then do it. And I'll say thank you, Mr. President. If he has evidence that brings other people to justice, whether that be in the Republican Party, whether that be in the Democrat Party, whether that be somebody in the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, I don't care. Nobody is above the law. And we have to think like that as Americans. Otherwise, this partisanship is going to destroy us if it hasn't already. We're very much close to the precipice of perhaps a civil war. Not just because of the politics that exist, but because of all of the economic issues that exist that we also talk about here on a near daily basis at the Capitol News. Because it's all interconnected. So that's the important question that we have to ask ourselves now that is going to be the center of attention. Does this rise to impeachment? And does this rise to the actual removal of a duly elected sitting president of the United States? This is a serious charge. Impeachment is not a simple remedy. Because you've had people all the time, it doesn't matter who you are, what party it is, if it's Clinton, got to impeach him. If it's George W. Bush, got to impeach him. If it's Barack Obama, got to impeach him. And now if it's Donald J. Trump, you have to impeach him. That's not how our system works. It's not how it works. And it's just with social media and 24/7 news outlets and the internet and everything else, everybody and their mother has an opinion. It's on overdrive. And we're just speeding up this process of partisanship. Everybody reads what they want to read. They listen to what they want to listen to. That's why I suggested maybe a month or so ago to do me a favor, but more importantly, do yourself a favor to read articles from different news outlets that you don't typically read, to listen to different radio shows or different podcasts that you don't typically listen to. If you watch Fox all the time, turn on CNN or MSNBC. If you watch MSNBC all the time, turn on Fox. Did you do it? You don't have to do it for me. You should do it for yourself. Maybe you'll learn something else. Maybe you'll hear a different perspective, a different opinion. You know, if you're going to solve a problem, the best way to go about doing it is to get as many opinions as possible. Within reason, of course. Not just to listen to what you want to hear. Not just to have everybody surrounding you who is of the same mindset, because you're going to overlook things and you're going to make mistakes. Now, maybe in politics we have that luxury, but what if you're a business owner or a decision maker, somebody who's managing the bottom line? Do you have that luxury just to surround yourself with people who think the same way you do? Maybe you're leaving a lot of money on the table. Maybe you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities because you're only hearing one side of the equation. Maybe there's another side. Maybe there's three sides. Maybe there's four sides. And that's the problem. Up and down the entirety of our government, our system. Because it's just the Republican solution or it's just the Democrat solution. Clearly, there could be no other way. I try to put forth other ways. With the abolishment of the Federal Reserve, with the abolishment of the federal income tax. Who says that on either side of the aisle? Nobody. Not a one of them. Either because they're ignorant of the fact or because they like the system the way it is because they're benefiting from it. Either is unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. So today we have Dr. Fiona Hill testifying. She is the individual who said that John Bolton claimed that Rudy Giuliani is a hand grenade. Dr. Fiona Hill testified today that former National Security Advisor John Bolton has claimed that Rudy Giuliani is a hand grenade. She also testifies today that John Bolton also claims that Mick Mulvaney and Ambassador Sondland were concocting some sort of drug deal and that he wanted nothing to do with it, and that he advised Dr. Fiona Hill to go seek the lawyer of the National Security Council, which she did. And she explained to him what was going on with Mick Mulvaney, who was the acting chief of staff in the White House, and of course, Ambassador Gordon Sondland, who testified the other day. And he is the ambassador to the European Union, a political appointee, because he donated $1 million to Donald Trump's inaugural committee. So there you have it. These are the people who have been surrounding Donald Trump on this issue. These are the people who have been called out, but have yet to testify. Rudy Giuliani has not testified. Mick Mulvaney has not testified. However, of course, Gordon Sondland has testified, and we said that was not a good day for the White House and for the Republicans' arguments. Of course, like we said yesterday in that analysis, that there was some wiggle room, that Gordon Sondland gave a little bit of line, line out there to say, hey, yeah, there was quid pro quo, but it was really for President Zelensky and the Ukrainians to come have a meeting in the White House. And Gordon Sondland was just saying, well, I was just presuming that it was the White House visit plus the aid, the military aid that was going to go to Ukraine. Those were a bundled package, two sides of the same coin, as I put it here yesterday. Why would he presume that? Because it's logical. And when you hear the testimony of pretty much everybody who has thus far testified, who was in the know on this, that's how it was, because that was what the particularly the National Security Council and the State Department were advocating for. This is what Ukraine needs. This is what President Zelensky needs. He needs to come here to the White House. There needs to be a meeting because it's symbolic. The Ukrainian people need to know from the outset, the very outset of their new president's administration, is supported by the President of the United States, and with it, the entirety of the United States government. That this is bipartisan, because you have Democrats and Republicans authorizing this money and this aid to be given to Ukraine, so it's bipartisan support, generally speaking, of course, and that the President of the United States is also making the symbolic gesture that the United States stands with Ukraine to fight corruption and to be more transparent and to help fend off the Russians. So they are bundled together as far as I'm concerned. That is a logical conclusion that one can make. They need both. They need the symbolic gesture to sort of give the Ukrainian people an extra boost, a morale boost, that their new president, who won by a landslide, campaigning on reform, anti-corruption, and transparency, now has the backing of the United States of America. That means something, or at least it should. And because they are fighting a war with Russia, they need the assistance. And this is where the opportunity arises for somebody within this administration, if not at the top from Donald Trump's thinking, then perhaps Rudy Giuliani's thinking, that this can be used as leverage. Leverage for what? Leverage, political leverage, for Donald Trump to use this to his advantage to get the Ukrainians, President Zelensky, his Justice Department in Ukraine, to investigate Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company, which of course has links and associations with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. Now, this all comes down to the question of coincidence. And this all comes down to the question of, do you think that if Joe Biden was not running in the 2020 presidential campaign, do you think Donald Trump would bring up this issue of investigating Burisma? Because I think that's a serious question that needs to be asked and considered. Because we know in 2017 and in 2018, aid was given to the Ukrainians. We also know that that administration at that time in 2017 and in 2018, it was corrupt. That's why President Zelensky won his election. He was fighting a corrupt system. That means a corrupt system was in place. They would have been in place in 2017 and in 2018. And for those of you who are counting, 2017 and 2018 comes after 2016, after the election here in the United States. Donald Trump knew about Ukraine. He knew about Burisma. He knew about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden being involved, because that took place when Joe Biden was the vice president. He has the video, Donald Trump does, that he has sent out there on Twitter of Joe Biden sitting before, I think, the Council on Foreign Relations, talking about how he had one of the former attorney generals over there in Ukraine removed, acting like the tough guy Joe Biden was. I don't like Joe Biden. I'm not here to defend Joe Biden. I'm here to defend the truth. If Joe Biden gets implicated and is charged, okay, go ahead. I'm not here to defend him. I'm here to defend the truth. I'm here to find the truth. I'm here to find justice, no matter who's implicated. But that's a serious question, I think. Do you agree with that? Something to ponder. Again, do you think Donald Trump would have asked President Zelensky to investigate Burisma and Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden if Joe Biden was not in the race? Because that tells you a lot about what's going on in the president's mind. Because this whole charge is that Donald Trump is bribing Ukraine because he knows they are desperate for foreign aid. He knows they are desperate for a White House meeting. He knows this because he has been advised on this for months. For months. Not days, not weeks, for months. That's, again, goes to why, I believe, he is just wanting everybody to focus on the transcript. As if nothing else happened before this. There was no lead up to this phone call. Rudy Giuliani, his associates, Igor Furman and Lev Parnas. No, those are the two. Again, those are the two individuals who have been arrested by the FBI. They weren't doing anything. You don't have to know anything about Rudy Giuliani and his two associates. And those are the two that we know about. I'm sure there could be more. You don't need to know about the removal of Ambassador Yovanovitch and everything that led up to that, which came to pass because those two associates of Rudy Giuliani and Rudy Giuliani advising Donald Trump to remove this woman. Donald Trump never met Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. He is just taking Rudy Giuliani's word and those other two individuals who have been arrested by the FBI. That's suspicious to me. Let's substitute Donald Trump with Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Still okay? Interesting now, isn't it? Put away the partisanship. Because now we have news coming out tonight that Senator Lindsey Graham of the Senate Judiciary Committee is opening investigations into Ukraine, Burisma, and Joe Biden, and Hunter Biden. So roll up your sleeves, folks. Political theater's continuing. Why now? Why now? This happened years ago that you know that Joe Biden was part of removing an attorney general in Ukraine alongside other nations. This was not just a U.S. operation. This was known. This was a coordinated effort by multiple nations. You get what I'm saying here? Why didn't they look into this in 2017 and 2018? Republicans had power of the House right after the 2016 election. Why didn't they look into this if they were so concerned with everything? 2019. The aid goes in 2017. It goes in 2018. 2019 rolls around. Whoa, wait a minute. We got to hold this up. Joe Biden's coming to town. Can you look up Burisma? Of all the corruption, of all of the companies that exist within Ukraine, Donald Trump just happens to mention the one that is linked to the Bidens. You think that's coincidental? How many times do I say on this podcast, there are no coincidences? So much of our analysis and our predictions, our forecasts, most of them that come true, and it's a good deal of them, are based off of things that, hey, do you think that's a coincidence? Do you think it's a coincidence that we have word of a whistleblower complaint on September 9th, and that is the same day that Gordon Sondland has a phone call with President Trump, and President Trump says, there was no quid pro quo. I want no quid pro quo. I want nothing. And then on September 10th, the very next day, National Security Advisor John Bolton resigns, becoming the former National Security Advisor. And now you get testimony of people testifying under oath that Bolton has been warning about Rudy Giuliani, Mick Mulvaney, and Ambassador Gordon Sondland. I'm just pausing here so everybody can think about this for a second. Do you think all of this is coincidental? Do you think this is all okay? Because I don't. I don't think it's okay. I think it all stinks. But the question still remains. Should the president be removed from this? Because that's a very, very serious charge. Or should we wait until next November and have an election? Because there's another thing that gives me concern with Donald Trump. I believe he would do this again. I honestly believe he would do this again. If he skates, if he gets off on this, I believe he will do it again or something like it. And I'm going to tell you why, and we've talked about this here before. For 2 years, you had the Bob Mueller special prosecutor investigation. During that time, you had Donald Trump and many others saying it was a witch hunt and saying it was a hoax. Even myself, I said a lot of this is a witch hunt. And I said that because of the investigation that was underway when it came to looking in the genesis of this, of looking into Donald Trump colluding with the Russians. Because we had transcripts there, and we took the time on this podcast back in February and March of this year to go through some of those transcripts of former FBI agents and lawyers, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and maybe some others as well. And we said, this doesn't look good. They were happy to get off of investigating anything that was related to Hillary Clinton, and they were very excited and anxious, it seemed like, to start investigating Donald Trump. And we went through all of that genesis. I said, that doesn't look good. But during that time frame, we have Donald Trump coming out saying it's a witch hunt, it's a hoax. Now, of course, part of that special investigation was determining what the Russians actually did. The main and sole focus was not on Donald Trump and his campaign. It was really on Russia, how they interfered in our election, and what remedies can be taken to make sure that doesn't happen again or to mitigate the effects thereof. And of course, Donald Trump and his campaign were a part of that investigation because there were allegations out there circulating that they might have colluded. They might have conspired to do something. I think we're still, I hope, justice is still served on that in one way or the other. Again, if it implicates the Democrats, go after them. If it implicates the deep state and anybody within the NSA, CIA, FBI, go get them. If it implicates Donald Trump and company, go get them. I don't care. I don't care. I put myself in a position of win-win. As long as the truth and justice come out and freedom wins, I win. You put yourself in a partisan bucket, well, maybe you'll win it, maybe you'll lose it. And it's really not about that. It's about the truth and justice. So Donald Trump, it's a hoax. This is nonsense. I didn't collude. I didn't conspire. Nothing. Then he picks up the phone and he talks to a new president of Ukraine and he says, hey, can you do us a favor? Can you look into 2016 election interference? Can you look into a company called Burisma? Oh, and by the way, this company is associated with Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Can you look into that too, please? He was just investigated for work, for perhaps working with a foreign government to interfere in a U.S. election, which he called a hoax and a witch hunt. He then picks up the phone and speaks to a foreign government and asks them to help him with a political rival in an upcoming U.S. election. All at the same time, complaining about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and I think rightly so, that they interfered with that election, that they were investigating Donald Trump, and that they were using foreign assets to intervene in our election. All of those chants that still happen to this day, lock her up, lock her up. He doesn't stop it. He says, oh, no, that's not a problem. It's not a problem because I'm going to do the same thing. I don't hear that. He allows the chants to continue. Lock her up, lock her up. And like I said, I have no problem locking Hillary Clinton up if she's found guilty. I imagine she's guilty of something. So come on, people. That's what leads me to believe that if Donald Trump gets off, he will do it again, or he'll do something again. And that is really where I am struggling with this whole thing right now as to whether or not he needs to be removed. Because all of the testimony that has come forward, again, I don't think it looks good for Donald Trump, but I still think other people need to come forward. I think Mike Pence needs to step up to the plate. I think Rick Perry needs to step up to the plate. I think Mike Pompeo needs to step up to the plate. And Ambassador John Bolton also needs to step forward and raise their right hand and testify under oath. Now, you can say, testifying under oath, they all lie, they don't give a damn, yada, yada, yada. That might be true, but guess what? The people who have thus far testified, I'm going to give them more credibility than the people who just stay on Twitter or stay on Fox News or some other news outlet and just go out there and try to defend Donald Trump. Come on down. Nobody's stopping you. Nobody's stopping you from releasing documents that can exonerate you. Exculpatory evidence. Again, if Donald Trump is innocent of all of this, fantastic. Fantastic. I'll be happy. Because I don't think that this is a good process. I really don't. I think it's a dangerous process. I think it's something that should be taken very seriously. I think it's just something that goes to further divide the country. But that doesn't mean that it's not justified if, in fact, Donald Trump is guilty of this action, because it is an abuse of power. It is an attempt at bribery. Now, you have Representative Jim Jacketless Jordan saying, well, there was no quid pro quo because the Ukrainians didn't know anything was going on. We found out from testimony earlier yesterday, not true. So there goes that argument. He also says, none of this ever happened. President Zelensky never went out to the press, never gave an interview, never made comments that Ukraine was going to investigate Burisma, which means Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Didn't happen. And they got the aid. Yes, you're correct, Jacketless. Because they got caught. Because there was a whistleblower complaint that came out. Again, folks, this is the coincidence of everything. Because the other thing that Representative Jim Jordan wants to say is, well, Donald Trump was trying to vet this guy. He was vetted. He was vetted by his State Department. He was vetted by his National Security Council. Everybody was advising him that everything with this guy is good. We can work with this guy. We finally have a president in Ukraine who wants to fight corruption, who wants peace, and wants to make peace with Vladimir Putin and the Russians, and wants to be transparent, but he needs our help. But Donald Trump said, nah, I don't think so. And why did Donald Trump come to this conclusion? Because Rudy Giuliani and his associates, two of which who we know have been arrested by the FBI, had said, no, not yet. Not yet. Don't do that yet. And in fact, get rid of Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, which he does. And it's not good enough to thank her for her service and to say, we're going to put you somewhere else. Nope. He has to have a smear campaign against this woman, which everybody who has thus far testified under oath, and even the Republicans, have stated that Marie Yovanovitch had a stellar reputation, that she was known for fighting corruption, and she was nonpartisan. So if the goal is to assist President Zelensky fighting corruption, and you have an ambassador who has been there for a few years, who has a stellar reputation, who is applauded by Democrats, Republicans alike, and everybody who knows her within the National Security Council, within the White House, and within the State Department and the Defense Department, giving her nothing but praise, she's got to go. That also doesn't make sense because of the smear campaign that happened because of Rudy Giuliani and his associates, who convinced Donald Trump of this. Donald Trump never met her, never had a personal conversation with Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. This goes to intent. This goes to the mind frame as what was going on in Donald Trump's head and Rudy Giuliani's. Uh-oh, 2019, Joe Biden is running. You remember that company, Burisma? Oh, yeah. We can get him now. You could have got him in 2017. You could have got him in 2018. Now it looks highly political. Doesn't look about truth and justice. It looks political. That's the problem. Because I have stated and have been consistent from day one. Just because you're a political rival, just because you're Joe Biden, it does not exempt you from investigation. It doesn't. But you have to ask yourself, why investigate him now when he is a political opponent to Donald Trump? Because there was nothing stopping the United States and the Justice Department in the United States to investigate this. And now, lo and behold, Senator Lindsey Graham is going to open up an investigation on Ukraine, on Burisma, and on Joe Biden. And this is not good from a national security standpoint either, folks, if you have listened to the testimony of these ambassadors, diplomats, national security advisors. Why? Because this is going to perhaps assist Vladimir Putin, of all people, and hurt Ukraine. Because now you have a Senate committee who is investigating Ukraine when they need our help more than ever. And we've already given them lots and lots of money. So are we just going to say that's a sunk cost? We didn't mean to give it to you. You're on your own now because we're coming to investigate you. That's how it can be played by Vladimir Putin. This is an opening, that you're not really supporting Ukraine. Yeah, you gave some weapons. Yes, you gave some aid. Still haven't had the White House meeting, but now we're going to investigate you. Could have done it in 2017, 2018, but you didn't. Raises questions, folks. Serious questions. And again, remove the name Donald Trump and replace it with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton if you're a conservative or you're a Republican. Get off the partisanship. You should want the truth. You should want what's best for this country. I don't like the position that we're in. I really don't. But Donald Trump has very questionable character. His language is divisive. He is no Abraham Lincoln. He's not trying to unite this country. It is further divisiveness and division. And that's a true shame. There's exaggerations, there's embellishments, there's outright lies and falsehoods. Just yesterday, Donald Trump visited Austin, Texas, because there is an Apple plant out there that manufactures or assembles some of their computers. He claimed on Twitter that he was in Austin, Texas at that Apple plant to open it. I opened an Apple plant today in Austin, Texas. That was yesterday. In the year of 2019, that plant was opened in 2013. He didn't open it. I mean, this acceptable? I mean, come on. So do you think he wouldn't do this again with some of the political stuff or God knows else what? It's problematic. He has difficulty telling the truth. That's not good. He's supposed to be the moral exemplar of this country. Of course, many other presidents who have sat in that office have not risen to that either. And I don't lay all of this at the feet of Donald Trump, but this is him. He is the president of the United States. Is this the best we can do? Because I can tell you what, there was a very poor performance last night with the Democratic presidential debate. This is the best these people can come up with? You have to be kidding me. This is the best this country can come up with? With all of the successful businessmen and women in this country, with all of the entrepreneurs and innovators and scientists and engineers and professors, you name it, this is the best we can do. Donald Trump and the 10 lunatics that still have air on the other side. And of course, a couple more lunatics are getting into the fray too, because that's how crazy it is. That's how bad they all are. And if you couldn't get an investigation into Joe Biden with the Ukrainians, well, don't worry about it, Donald Trump. Your good old buddy down there in South Carolina, Lindsey Graham's going to do it for you here. So you couldn't hang it over Joe Biden's head for a year because the Ukrainians ain't doing it. Don't worry, Lindsey Graham got your back. When's it going to end? Because you had time to do it 2 years ago. Now it looks highly, highly political. And I don't exempt the Democrats from all of this either, because they're shameless in all of this too. But again, that's the problem. But it doesn't mean just because sometimes all the time, somebody's playing politics, that the truth can't still be found. Because it can be, and it needs to be. Impeachment hearing day 5, the ultimate question, does this all rise to impeachment and removal? Because the impeachment that will take place in the House of Representatives, I imagine, given the evidence that has come forth so far, that the Democrats will vote to impeach him. Removal will be a bigger question when it comes to the trial in the Senate. Will Republicans come out and even say what Donald Trump did was wrong? Because so far, none of these Republicans on the Intelligence Committee who have been conducting this questioning on this impeachment inquiry have at least come out and said what Donald Trump has done is wrong. Maybe they'd like to. Maybe behind closed doors they do. But when you have a president who comes out and says, read the transcript, it was perfect, how can you come out and say anything but, or at least ignore it? Everything is not perfect that this president does. Everything he says is not the truth. All of his policies are not great. Some of them are. We applaud the president when I agree with him. I criticize him when I think it's something that's worthy of criticism. You can agree with my analysis and opinion. You can disagree. That's what this is about. I'm not here to convince you to agree with me on everything, although that's sort of what I attempt to do. At least see my side of the story. That it's just one-sided. Any of us can always be wrong. But we're not always right. So you have to ask yourself, what's going to happen? Will there be Republicans in the Senate that might come out and at least say, well, what Donald Trump did was wrong, but we have an election coming up next year, and we're just going to allow the American people to settle this, hopefully once and for all. And that'll be part of the calculus in the voting constituency across this country. But again, as it stands right now, one of my biggest concerns, should this come to an election, is I think Donald Trump will do this again. Because he'll feel vindicated, he'll feel exonerated, and even if he isn't, he'll say so. Because he was not exonerated by the Mueller investigation. Bob Mueller said, this does not exonerate the president. Even Attorney General Bill Barr says that that report does not exonerate the president. But guess who said it did on Twitter? Thunder Thumbs. I'm exonerated. Ah. Who do you want to believe? And that's the problem, and that's what we've been talking about here for months. Credibility. Credibility. We have a handful of witnesses who have stepped forward, swore an oath to tell the truth, but the people who are defending this president are doing so on Twitter and on news stations, not under oath. Keep that in mind as well. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capitol News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. I will catch you here tomorrow. Godspeed.